This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. Oh, hey, y'all. We sat down with the Amy Grant and we're talking to her today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah, I'm a kid for you, bro.
Yuck, hard.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source. It's me.
My wife.
I'm a fan of my mom.
It's me, the source.
Stop, it's a wreck!
I'm sorry. You want me to perform in this?
Yeah, you're Amy Grant from the Baby Baby video. The one where the man likes her at the carnival.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have some good Christian fun. That last clip was Miss Tina Fey talking to Miss Sherry Shepherd on the 30 Rock program. This is a couple years back in which Tina Fey's character Liz Lemon does get Sherry Shepherd's character to dress.
Like a cultural icon.
Like an icon, like a legend, like a moment. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by, sometimes made about Christians.
That's
but
right.
We're not here to make fun of anyone or anyone's faith. We're not here to make anyone go to church either. We're just here to have a little good Christian fun. Caroline, there's a big one today. This is kind
Kevin.
Of the one after which we can like end the podcast and and you know our history in podcasting forever.
I feel like after this I could just sort of exit society, move to the mountains, feel satisfied with my life,
float into
and just
space.
Kind of float out until till the sweet end.
Sounds good. Wow.
I want to be a part of that.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, you're going to be a part of Caroline's
right, we'll make room for two.
Space Viking funeral, as she's described it. She is committed to it. So you heard that voice. I think we should officially, properly introduce that voice once and for all. Friends and folks, she's an up-and-coming musician out of Tennessee. Just kidding, she's the queen of Christian prop. She has sung her praise to the Lord, built a house of love, and we hope today she giggles like a baby baby. Give it up for Amy Grant! Hello!
Welcome.
Well,
to
hi.
The show.
Amy, hello. Oh gosh, let's turn that one down for you now.
Man,
welcome.
That was
gracious.
Woo. That's the most energetic introduction I have gotten in an interview, I would say, in a decade.
Whoa! Okay, wait, who was doing this in 2011? We'll talk to them. We'll try to match them as well.
Like, compete.
And I will say, that is this is not a special intro song for this particular episode. That is the intro song we use for every single episode of the podcast that we do. We do
really?
Sing Your Praise to the Lord with the piano intro, with the build-up, with the credits.
It sets the tone every time.
That's fantastic.
So thank you.
Rich Mullins would be so happy.
Yes, okay, indeed. Good. Yes, indeed. And I do want to point out, and lampshade for everybody, I did call Amy the queen of Christian prop.
Prop comedy.
Yeah. But I don't know if you have any prop comedy bits yourself, but yeah.
Not yet. No, I'll work on it.
Yeah, I mean, hats, that's a prop of a sort, in a way.
Oh, man. Goodness yeah, that gracious. Was actually, we had a lot of props way back when I did that live. Yeah.
You would use different hats in the performance?
Well, I actually used my oldest sister went to college in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And back then, she had a steamer trunk. It sounds like something from Titanic.
Yes, yeah.
But when I first started traveling, I would use that rolling trunk. It was like a rolling closet. And we jammed it full of hats.
Oh, my gosh.
Everything from like a Viking hat with horns to church lady hats to all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I'm just a constant revolving carousel
great.
Of hats
yeah,
on my
on.
Head. Yeah.
Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh.
Ahead
yep.
of the photo booth trend before it was a trend in a way.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You had your finger on the pulse there.
Amy, we're so delighted to talk to you today.
I really can't tell you how much it means to me.
yeah, this is truly monumental for us, I think for our audience.
Yes. I'm a married woman, but Amy, I've got a huge crush on you. And if you told me there was a shot, I would take it. But we're just really excited to have you. We've talked about you often on Good Christian Fun, always positively, because you are timeless, incredible, and you're just cool, Amy. And that's the first thing I wanted to say to you.
All right, Amy is cool. It's of record on the GCF podcast.
But
this is a show in which we talk to people who are still involved in the faith, people who have left the church, people who are questioning, people who have gone through a deconstruction process. Mm. And one of the commonalities when talking about your music is that it remains meaningful to them at whatever the time it is that they experienced it, at whatever the moment, whether it was in the throes of their, you know, highest levels of faith and being in the church, or whether it was outside of it in something as a gentle reminder of that time. So we first of all just want to say thank you for that, and the way that your music and your work and your presence has been a constant for so many people in their lives.
Wow. Well, thank you. Music honestly has been a lifeline for me. And so that means a great deal. Thank you.
And I'm wondering for you how it feels to kind of receive that, because I'm sure in your very storied and long and legendary career, you've heard different kinds of testimonies, if you will, of people's experience of your music, and especially as you've been able to be fluid in all these different genres, not only in the sense of like cutting a hymns album or doing something more on the pop side or something that people might not even first identify as Christian music. What is it like for you to hold all those things when people talk to you about that?
Well, a lot of things rush into my head. What do I say? However it is that I have felt compelled to tell stories or sing about my own life, I think the gift back to me has been that I tend, it feels like when I meet people that they don't have their game face on, like their guard is down. I remember being on a trip, this was years ago, my daughter Sarah was in an honors choir, and so we made the trip with several chaperone parents. I think the kids were maybe in the sixth grade. And so we were staying in downtown Los Angeles. And anyway, it was honors choir from kids from all over. And but the parents just sat around, you know, the kids were busy. So we were like, okay, let's meet for coffee. Okay, let's meet for this. Let's meet for that. And early on, like the five or six women that were from the school where my daughter went, you know, they would see strangers come up to me and they said, hey, we feel like we need to kind of be your bodyguards. We'll just kind of like shoulder people out. And I said, well, it might be more interesting. Why don't we just like widen the circle and then you guys just be a part of the conversation.
Wow. And okay, how did that work out?
Well, here's the crazy thing. I'm so unaware of this, but like somebody would come over and say something like what you were saying, a very specific experience. I ran away from home when I was 19 years old, and I was living in a parking lot at the Y, and somehow I wound up having a connection with your music. And anyway, but everybody came up with a specific story. So by the end of that first day, all those other parents turned to me and said, "This is so much more interesting than the conversations we have." And you're like, "What show are you watching? What season are you on?
What song are they going to sing tonight?"
Yeah, but it was so crazy to just the getting to hear so many things about other people's lives.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I think I guess it's because I've told a lot about my life and my stories. I mean, in my songs, blah blah blah. But
You don't have to blah 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 yourself. This podcast is for the blah blah blah.
Okay. Anyway, the communication goes both ways. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to
and
say.
And imagine it was nice for you to like, you know, instead of just having this one-on-one and having to receive that, you could spread that out too among these friends and have them all like be able to speak with this person and share, you know, what they've gone through as well.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's so nice to talk real stories about our lives. Mm-hmm. And music has been an easy way to do that.
Yeah.
Easy, unthreatening way to talk about fun things and hard things and, yeah, all of it.
So we're at the 30th anniversary of Heart in Motion. And I'll ask a question we ask a lot of guests on our podcast. Sincerely, this is, again, not specifically for you. This is something we ask everyone. How is your heart today?
It's fantastic.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good.
I know. Yeah. I know. This time a year ago, I was kind of convalescing after a open heart surgery.
Yeah.
So I'm doing great.
We're so glad to hear that, by the way. Congratulations.
My good old scar.
You're
this
rocking
looks like
it.
Tattooed cleavage right there.
Yeah, there you go. It's permanent.
Yeah. Now, I don't have tattooed cleavage in that sense, but I did. This is true. I did have a closed heart surgery.
That's right.
When I was 10 months old myself.
What?
So yes. So we're going to talk about this for the next 25 to 30 minutes. So Caroline can just hang out and be like, okay. No, it's my scar.
Just
grew like this. And mine was like this.
Man,
yeah,
exactly. 10 months old. What did you have? What were they fixing?
You know, I fully forgot what it was. So I had to text my mother this morning.
Yeah. I'm sure she never forgot.
Yeah. It's something called PDA, patent ductus arteriosus. So I had surgery in
PDA?
Yeah. So I was, I was guilty of PDA from a very early age, I guess you could say, for better or worse.
That's great. Wow, 10 months, tiny little
guy. Your heart's been fine ever since?
As far as I know, amazing. I mean, sometimes it beats a little too fast for certain people, but other than that, it's...
Isn't it so great? Yes, to me, I just have something that's fixable.
Mm-hmm.
What a relief, right? Yes. There's a solution for that.
Yep.
Was there any music that like helped you through the convalescent period? You said music has been your lifeline. Was there a lifeline or two during that time?
Last summer, I spent so much time outside. We've got a really neat, we live in a house that was built in the 1920s, and it has an old garden that's really shaded and such a beautiful place to sit outside. And I spent countless hours with my youngest daughter, Karina. She's 20, loves music. She's a great writer. And I mean, we just listened. We listened to so much music. We listened to Broadway, pop, R&B, our favorite storytellers. I mean, it was just, it was so much fun.
Now, I'm sorry to cut you off. I was going to ask if you're at a relational level with your children now where there's playlist exchanges at all.
Oh, yeah.
If you're bumping like Spotify, it's like, all right, mom made me a playlist or my daughter made me a playlist, vice versa.
Yes. I don't make as many playlists. That's not where if I've got some time, I'm not in front of the screen. But yes. In fact, I got a playlist from my son-in-law last weekend that is, it's unbelievable. It's like 18 hours of music.
Whoa.
And he calls it Saturday Pancake Playlist.
Oh,
it's
my
a big
gosh.
Pancake.
I mean, it is, it's like, it's a great musicology lesson.
Yeah, do you think it's like expanded some of your palette at all on music and what you're liking recently?
That is more, yeah, well, to me, it just felt like great. There's a lot of new stuff, but a lot of nostalgic stuff on there. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's going back to it. She's thinking about the big pancakes right now.
Yeah, I was. Yep.
Well, it's funny at this stage in your life and your career, I'm always curious as to what musicians as accomplished as yourself, how music does function as like day-to-day texture. Because even for me, it's hard for me to like discover new music and feel like kind of connected and plugged in. And I am not a musician of note at all, to say nothing of someone where it's like, you've done so much of the thing, like the thing that you set out to do, like you've done all of that. So now at this stage, like, is music just like, oh yeah, that's kind of this work thing over there, you know, even if it does function as a lifeline. I think I'm thinking mostly in the sense of like discovering the new stuff and understanding right. like, oh, what's going on? Not even in just like generally in Christian music or worship music or whatever people are doing in those spaces, but then just like generally in like all those genres that you were talking about and discussing.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. I don't spend as much time sitting around discovering new music, but I do have friends that do. And I think part of that is just because I don't take advantage of technology to go like, okay, what are all the new releases today? You know, I love live music. And for several years, we would go to, there's a huge music festival outside of Nashville called Bonnaroo. And now they're doing it this year where we can't go. But I always go and camp with my kids. I mean, it's the first place I heard Mumford & Sons. I mean, that was forever ago, but I was like, who in the world is that? First, but, and you know, I find new artists, sometimes you just wander in under a tent because you're exhausted. I go, I hope the music is good. I can't move.
Just don't be too loud. That's all I ask.
Yeah. Oh no, it's all loud. Yeah, it's all loud. But, I discover music like everybody else, word of mouth. Mm-hmm. The daily making of music in our house right now is all coming from Vince's world.
Okay.
And I think it's just because I experience creativity in so many ways. I mean, I'm gearing up for a tour now. We had a vocal rehearsal night before last. We'll be singing all this week. Mm-hmm. But as far as new music being made, I will make some again, but it just hasn't been on my front burner.
Yeah.
Like to me, I sort of look at everything as creativity.
Yes.
And in the last few years, I have just been so obsessed with being outside.
Yeah.
Creating spaces outside for people to gather. I mean, sounds like a weird passion, but I think it's really important. And so, just creating spaces for conversation, for the experiences, music outside. But I have, like, I picked up a guitar last night and was just playing and singing my thoughts. And really what I mostly thought was, man, you're rusty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's mostly what I thought.
Keep practicing.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, that's all right. That's good. There's seasons of everything.
Totally.
But
you got a little time before the tour.
Yeah.
A few weeks.
And you got, just a few weeks. This is like I think it's a 39, 40 date tour that you're about to embark on.
Yes. And then that wraps up in November and we'll launch into all of our Christmas stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I was just thinking about you and Christmas and how it's so tied into your life. And it has to be a very like magical and like very personal time. But I also would imagine you'd see December coming and you're like, I go to work. Like Christmas means work.
Ding dong.
For me.
Santa's knocking. Yeah. The rent is due.
clock in.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's interesting because, I mean, one of my favorite things about December is the work, also. Mm. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you can be somebody that loves fitness and you think, okay, I'm getting back on the treadmill or I'm going out, I'm going to, you know, you put music behind that. And suddenly you feel like, I can run forever.
Limitless.
And so, you know, when going to work, I mean, I still feel like I get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to go. I get to do this.
Yeah.
And people are still showing up and you're like, wow, this is fantastic.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun. That's such a good point you make, especially about exercise. And that's why we're so happy to announce that Amy Grant is launching her own Peloton class on the Peloton application. She'll be leading the class as well as conducting it with all of her own music, writing while playing her guitar.
All the hearts
I love
motion.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, I do love that. Yeah. One time I went to a spin class. Uh-huh. I mean, I like riding bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a fantastic road bike. I prefer my hybrid because then you don't flip out if the ground gets weird. Anyway, but I've taken bikes in the Bay of the Bus all across Canada and the U.S. So many great bike trails everywhere.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Anyway, one time I thought, hey, I think I'm going to go to the Y and just take a spin class. And so, you know, I go in, everybody is like, got on great workout clothes. I don't, but, and then there's a mirror across the way. And I think, I'm not going to look at, I don't really care to watch myself sweat. So I'm just looking at everybody. But every once in a while, I'll just catch in that mirror. I think, who is that person going so slow? Like, everybody's really kicking it here. And that person is clearly 3 times slower. And then at some point, I looked at the mirror and I went, that's me. And then I thought, why is everybody riding so fast? Like, where are we going? What's the point of it?
Because to me, you won't get anywhere faster.
Well, also, when I'm riding a bike, it's like it gives you a chance to be curious about everybody's mm-hmm. yard, what it looks like, yes. you know, the I don't know.
Scope out the yards in the neighborhood.
Yeah, a leisurely ride is so much more fun. I also,
I feel that way. Yeah, even if I'm going a long way, it's like, why rush?
Take your time.
Yeah, see the
take
city.
Your time.
I
That's
also
kind
took
of my
one
feeling about life.
Spin class one time, and I just felt like I got pummeled in there. And it was only like 3 other people. And I was the same, like, why? It's so hard. It's so hard. You took the fun thing, bike riding, and made it very painful.
What if you did it indoors and everyone's
right
looking at you?
I know. Yeah.
But respect health, to anybody who's got to do it.
Yeah. Health should be fun.
Yeah.
Health should be fun. You mentioned earlier, you were talking about how when people shared their stories with you, that they often had no game face when they did it, that the kind of facade just dropped and what you saw was what you got. And I do feel like it's time for me to confess that I did have a shaving accident right before logging onto this Zoom call with Amy Grant, in which I did.
Okay, yeah, I can see an asymmetrical look.
Okay, well, Amy, you were supposed to tell him, no, I can't see it. It's all good. You know, you're a professional podcaster, Kevin. And I was like, Caroline was right.
It's a little shaggy. I do need to trim it. I want to look at my best for this icon. And I didn't notice that the clipper was off. And so there was a little bit missing here. I'm going to have to go to the barber to change it up and maybe shave the rest of it down. Now, but yes.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. No, you know, I did notice that, but
she did notice it. I'm so glad.
Everybody kind of has their own, you know, to me, it's just like.
It's a look.
Are you saying this could be my new signature? This could be my new thing.
It just looks like unfinished business.
And isn't that beautiful? Because we're not yet perfected, right? We are unfinished business in this work of sanctification.
You're wearing it red on your face.
I'm being renewed every day. And I'm like, yeah, that's the story my face tells, brother.
Oh, man. I wish you could have seen the spiral he was in. Because this was minutes before we started.
8 minutes before we logged on.
He talked about, well, then do I shave the other side? But then it looks a little bit Hitler-y.
Do I shave my head? That's right. There's a lot of options being laid out.
And I reassured him no one would tell. But yes. That's not true.
I think this is a beautiful picture, though, in a way, maybe of how, Amy, you and your work bring out people's vulnerability. As you've brought out your own. Truly. I don't know.
I like that.
Right?
I like that. Well, can I tell you, one of my favorite things that I was in a meditation group. And I think we met four times. But it was at Sheryl Crow's house. And we were leaving. And it was so beautiful. She would say things like, okay, I hear the vacuum cleaner. I hear all the sounds of everything. I'm just welcoming the sound of that and just everybody keep breathing. So it actually was like the few times I went, it was very relaxing. I just don't sit around and breathe with friends. But leaving her house one day, she said, we were talking about something and she said, can I tell you the biggest thing I have learned in the last year that has changed my inner landscape? And she said, I just practice observing without judgment.
Wow.
Just observing to understand. Mm-hmm. Observe to understand. And that is a game-changing way to look at life. Uh-huh. You know, just to observe, oh, well, that's what made sense for you today. Well, you just felt like shaving half of your, just a little piece. Just that, yeah. Just observe to go, hey, I love that unique flair. That's
the choice
just flair.
I think that's adding a judgment to it, which says it's flair.
In all the ways I imagine this interview going, I didn't imagine getting passively and kindly roasted.
No. There is no roast.
I know. It's not without judgment. It's like you said, it's an observation. But that almost makes it even deeper the way it
Oh, man. And I'm going to be observing that mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Quite
yeah,
often.
We'll be tracking the progress in the intervening days and weeks to come. Goodness gracious. Amy, listen, you went on tour with Michael W. Smith. I mean, you've been working with him closely as a partner, but there was a tour you guys did a couple years back called the Two Friends Tour, of which we are wearing the namesake merchandise.
I see that.
And he has become, I'm sure, a close friend and a great collaborator of yours. Mm-hmm. Caroline and I are two friends who have this project that we're doing together, this podcast. So I'm curious as to what the foundation and the relationship is between you and Smitty, how you maintain that, how you kind of cultivate that over the years to create a long-lasting and fruitful partnership together.
Wow. He is a good friend. And it's funny, you know, like family and all your personal responsibilities and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should say those of us that tour know the reality of you've got your road family and then your blood family. And it's so funny. You can spend so much time with people on the road and then come home and you're off for weeks, months, sometimes a year, and you're not calling each other saying, hey, let's go grab a meal. Because when you're on the road, that is who you're with. But always returning to those friendships makes for lifelong friends. What's been the most fun with Michael, this sounds crazy, but is getting to know his kids now that they're grown. So his kids are now the age he and I were when we met and started working together. I know, they're older, actually.
Yeah.
And life has kind of pulled us into, for other things besides music, has pulled us into each other's lives. So one thing, years ago, there was a really beautiful old farm that was going to be subdivided. And three families went in and bought that farm. This was in the mid-90s. And Michael's family was one, and mine, and then another family. And so even when we're not doing anything with music, sometimes he'll just say, hey, are you going to be at the farm today? Hey, come see my chickens. Hey, come see, let's go take a walk. And we do that more now than we ever have. Like, yeah, because of both of our lives, you know, they get so crazy. We only saw each other with work. And now, you know, all of our kids have launched and yeah. And so it's in some ways feels simpler and more room for friendship.
Mm-hmm. And so, to talk about probably other things than what's next or what you're doing in your work.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, he does the craziest stuff. I'm so much more of a homebody than he is, but he'll go, like sometimes we'll even get invitations to do the same thing. And he's like, yes. And I'm like, no. Yeah. He's pretty fearless. I don't, I was at the farm and he came by and he said, well, I'm doing this thing with Andrea Bocelli. And I said, tell me about it. And he said, he was doing a horseback riding event. And I think Bocelli is like a seasoned lifelong rider.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Even though he's blind. And Michael was going with him and I think they rode horses for like 20 miles and then did a concert.
Oh my! And did a concert after?
And then did a concert. Man, I know. It sounded like fantastic and terrifying to me. I love horses. I've had horses. You know, I mean.
But, I don't know. I think you should have gone on that ride. That sounds crazy.
There'll be more rides to go on in the future. There'll be plenty more things to say no to in the future.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's a good call. And probably you're it'll come back around. It's also you speaking about Smitty's kids makes me think like, oh, I wonder what the next generation out of like our kids would be. And what if they start a podcast together?
Listen, I mean, my takeaway from this dialogue is that I need to have children and you need to have children
just
to
so
keep our love
alive.
Keep
a business
going.
Yeah,
that's right. To keep it, keep it on track.
And you know, honestly, who you work with, that's everything.
Yeah.
It is.
It impacts so much of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. Just being surrounded by great people. And I mean, that energy of doing something that you really want to do with somebody else who's equally excited about it, if you found that, you have hit gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and it doesn't matter what it is, but just somebody that you've got just matching energy, matching enthusiasm, and matching work ethic. I mean, all those things. And I remember years ago, I got this advice from a fantastic head of A&R. His name is David Anderle at A&M Records. And he was talking about making a record. And he said, now I'm going to tell you what I can guarantee you. He said, you're going to work really, really hard and you're going to make a record. And what I can guarantee you is that you will have worked really hard and that you will have made a record. And there are no other guarantees in life.
Wow.
But if the things that can be guaranteed, like you guys, you are working hard with this podcast and you don't know where it's going to go. None of us ever know where anything's going to go creatively. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. You just show up and it's so great to show up and be with people you want to be with and have fun.
Yeah. That's kind of been the joy. I'm sorry to cut you off. What'd you say?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's the whole thing. It's just, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's
been your journey.
Well, yeah, I think so. Like in times when like we've been doing this for a couple of years, and I think that's the thing that's always kept us in it is like the relationship and kind of like that tie. Cause even when it's like, oh, or like, what's the audience for this or creatively or like, of course, navigating the pandemic was so tough and has been so tough these past year and a half. But I think the thing that was always foundational was our relationship together and that it was always fun for us. And even if like we recorded it and tossed it into a hole,
It was just fun to spend time together and talk about stuff.
Yeah. That said, this is the first good episode of our podcast.
Yes, I don't believe that.
This is the first one. And again, that's why we have to stop after today. We have to go out on top. It's like, well, she did the podcast and then it was over and then it became a legendary podcast.
Okay. I have a true friend question between you and Smitty is if you have ever cooked anything from Smitty's cookbook.
Oh, with his mother. Yes, his mother's cookbook that him and his mother did.
Because we have.
Let me say this. No, I have not. I like to go off script with cooking. I'm way off script.
She's an improviser. Mm-hmm.
But I have eaten a lot of things from that cookbook.
Okay, good.
I've eaten a lot of Barbara Smith's. Yeah. Yeah, you know somebody else I love, and he's a friend of Michael's too, but Wayne Kirkpatrick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we used to spend loads of time together on the road and writing songs. And it's also fun to me, so much good energy relationship wise can be there when you have differences, like having a great guy friend, Caroline, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's so different.
Yeah.
And it's not complicated by romance.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, I get to hang out, be with my friend.
Yeah.
And yeah. And to me, that's so much fun. Like having a songwriting session on the books, whether it was with Michael, with Wayne, with somebody else. And it's like, we just get to show up. We get to make coffee. We get to talk about life. And then it's going to turn into something creative. And, you know, I mean, a song has its kind of own life. But like for you guys to enjoy your friendship in the context of a podcast, everybody's just looking for a place to hang out, you know? And then suddenly you go, oh, I want to be in that circle. I want to feel that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that really, that's what music does. That's what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's something, you know, that's kind of how me and Caroline are basically the same as you in your career. 100% equally as accomplished, equally as talented. No, yeah, but what I was going to say is that it is, I think what you've done in your music and your work is provided a long form conversation. This is literally one that we put out every week, and that's something where people form a parasocial relationship with it. But you seem to be in this like long term, over decades dialogue with an audience about issues of faith and life and love. And it's something that people grow with. It's not something that they grow out of. It's something that still means something to them. And even something like doing the live shows like you're about to do, starting here in a couple of weeks, you're still setting, and I've heard you refer to it as a welcome table before. And it feels like that is such a crystallization of that idea, is what happens when people sing together, when you lead people in song together. Is that how you think of the live shows as well?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I just, I'm trying to remember everything you said. That was really beautiful. I wish, yeah, that's beautiful. Really, anybody that's going to come to a live show is probably not, unless it's part of a theater series and somebody has tickets, you know, which you can always tell when somebody shows up and they don't know any of your songs. And that's fun too, because it's like, oh, I got to win this person over. I've got to sing them into the circle. But
sing them into the circle. Okay,
yes.
I'm going to remember that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Anyway. But yeah, I feel like, you know, it's funny. There's a song that I have not done much, but I am going to do on this tour called Ask Me. And I was inspired by a couple of friends of mine that had really awful sort of systematic sexual abuse as children. But I wrote about it in a song. And I remember during that entire tour around that record, the song was called Ask Me. And anytime that song would start and the crowds were big then, and just looking out over what felt like a sea of people, and then you'd see these solitary figures stand up, and it felt like, when you talk about a conversation, because I was painting a very vivid picture of a little girl and what she was going through, and then you would just see men and women stand up. But to me, that was the most poignant, like, you know, that they were saying, me too, me too. And so it can happen just in fun, you know, and it can also happen in really vulnerable ways. And it's not even, it's just a song. But suddenly you are participating in in the same story. So
yeah. I feel like it must have taken some courage to even put that song out there and not being sure, like, is this going to connect or is this going to upset people or how will they, or the hope they have that we feel supported. But then also I can't think of a lot of really popular songs that are about sexual abuse in such a gentle and hopeful way as well. And I'm sure now you are getting to see that, like, yeah, that maybe that little bit of courage paid off in a big way for all these people and how much it means to them to be recognized, to have their story recognized, especially a thing that is often very private, very shameful, very, very dark. And to bring that to the light and also say that there is hope for you and that we see you and we acknowledge that pain. And that's got to be really special for you to see that kind of payoff isn't the right word I want to use, but, you know, to kind of pay off for that.
Yeah, that kind of connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It's really beautiful. And even thinking about who's welcome at that table and something you've been discussing even in interviews recently. I think the way that you've articulated that, especially to an audience that is as diverse as yours is very meaningful. The idea that, you know, you might be gay, you might be queer, you might be straight, you might be trans, you might be anybody, but if you're coming, then you are going to have a seat at the table. I think that's so meaningful for people of whom those things might be true and of whom those things are their identity to hear. So I just want to say personally, thank you for that, because that's a very meaningful thing for people to hear.
Well, I can't imagine setting any other kind of table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that said,
love God and love each other.
Yeah.
Love God and love each other. That's the aim.
It's really it. You know, at the end of the day, it kind of all falls off except for that.
So that said, I haven't seen, forgive me if it's been published yet, I haven't seen if there's been an opening act announced for your tour, but if you're looking for perhaps to hype people to maybe join you for some Southern California
warm
dates to like maybe warm up the crowd, do some crowd work before, like, where are you from?
Two
from
extra
here?
Seats at the table, I guess is what we're asking.
Two teeny tiny like baby chairs pull up to
at
that
the kids table.
It's a kiddie table, but it's a welcome table.
I'd be delighted, I'd be honest.
That's awesome. Oh, that's great.
I mean, listen, it's happening.
We're
it's
putting it
happening.
Out there is what we're saying.
You know, our rates are very fair, so fair, more than fair, I would say, as far
like
as all that stuff goes.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. You know, Amy made a hand gesture for the listener home, and she nailed the number.
Exactly.
Listen, so, yeah, I mean, we're so looking forward to the tour. We obviously love the record. We obviously love all the work that you've done. And here's one question, though, that I have before maybe we get out of here and start wrapping things up. You've covered Christmas so significantly over the last four albums. Now, there was a song on your most recent Christmas album that you put out, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, in which you told a story about your family with the potholder kits. Is this ringing a bell at all? This is a story about, like, you got everyone in the family, the potholder kits, and no one was using them. And then everybody was using them, and then here came Christmas for you. Is this story true? I just need to know from a veracity.
Yes.
I want to do my journalistic integrity right now.
Yes.
It's a true story.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, that sounds goofy. I try to be a little ahead of the curve with technology. Potholders don't fit that description, but like years
and then
ago.
And you got the fax machines the year after, right?
No. Hey, the first year I ever was like, oh, you're going to love this. This was forever ago, but I remember I got the kids all iPods.
Oh, wow.
And they were
That's
not
amazing.
Sure what they were. But it was just like, well, what is this?
You didn't know? Oh,
no,
my gosh.
I mean, it was like ancient of days. So, you know, I'm ahead of the curve with technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that potholder thing, I don't know what it is, but I am like, I just want to pass on some of those old crafts. Who cares? But
seriously,
the potholder. Yeah. So that was one of those, like, it went over like, oh, you're all going to love this. You know, everybody's looking at these like cotton loops going, woohoo,
awesome.
This is pretty exciting.
Really cool.
And then everybody kind of divided and went to their own space. And like, I'm reaching out around the house. What are y'all doing? Oh, just a potholder in my room.
No
way. No big deal.
Yes. And I was like, come down. I built a fire.
I knew it.
I know.
Let mom take a picture of that and show it to you 10 years from now.
Mom was right. Mom was cool.
Mom was cool.
They are soothing to make.
And I'm very touched by that story too, by the way, about the iPods, because that was a gift from my mother for Christmas one year. So my mother also did the same sort of ahead of the
curve.
Did
you know what it was, or did you throw it in the trash?
I thought it was a brick, so I just used it as a paperweight for like 3 years. So then my mom said, no, you can put music on it. No.
Yeah, that's
It'd be amazing if it was one of those, like, U2 used to have those like iPods that was fully loaded up with their whole catalog and all their albums back in the day. But if there was an Amy sort of iPod where it was like leopard print casing a la the Unguarded era perhaps, and then all the albums there, that would have been cool, but really it wasn't. So it's just a regular old
do you
iPod.
Still have the leopard blazer? I have to know.
I do. I'm trying to think where that is right now. I think it's in the Grammy Museum in LA.
Oh,
they
it is
requested something.
Oh, let's go get it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, feel free.
I'm going there later.
It's right there for the taking. Gracious.
So iconic.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, you've cornered the market on Christmas. You are Christmas now. You are as synonymous with as Mariah Carey now at this point with all your work. Have you thought about any other holidays? Have you thought about, like, maybe it's time for, like, Amy does Halloween.
Yeah. Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
yes.
Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. I do
love
Halloween.
Thanksgiving would be a perfect one. Yeah. It's table setting. Mm-hmm. It's communal. Mm-hmm. And it's just next door to Christmas, you know, so think about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't want to wear out my welcome.
Okay. But you know, Halloween, baby becomes spooky. Something
like
along those.
Keep going.
No, not booby.
No, just boo, I guess. Yeah. Not booby. Come on. It's a Christian podcast, Caroline.
I'm sorry.
And yeah, we could play around something with Fat Baby. We are celebrating the anniversary of the song Fat Baby this year in 2021. Of course, one of your songs from, I believe, Age to Age.
Why are we celebrating that?
Amy, it's an anthem. It is my alarm clock in the morning, and it's my lullaby at night. Okay. Why are we celebrating that one?
I was just curious.
Listen, this is a body of work.
That's a running song right there.
And we, you know, and like the body that is the church, we have to celebrate all parts of the body, and they're all valid and equal. From the hits, from, you know, from Ask Me to Baby to Good For You to Fat Baby to Mountain Man to all of it. It's all valuable because it's all part of your body of work. I mean, listen, I'm not going to try to, you know, this is something people do in interviews where it's like, you should play this song on tour, you should play this song on the road. But if you did an encore where it was Fat Baby, or like a Fat Baby medley, I think it goes
a mashup.
Oh, yeah. A mashup.
Whoa.
Fat baby.
It works.
And then, yes, it's about like faith, but then also like, you know, being a mother, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Then I think Kevin could retire peacefully to the mountains.
Yeah. I'd become the mountain man. And then, yes, go off.
That would be sort of your moment.
Go off that way. By the way, you'd heard that joke from 30 Rock before that we played at the top, right? With Tina Fey. You'd never heard that.
Never.
No.
Oh my gosh.
That's fantastic.
Man, now I need to send you and your team like a supercut of all the Amy references and like this pop culture stuff. Because I know, like you said, you're pretty good about screen time and you don't overdo it with that stuff. And you're probably not like a TV watching couch potato, but man, you are a part of the culture in that way. It's true and it's real.
So, I'm honored. Every once in a while, when my son, I mean, he's in his 30s now, but he would come home from a movie or something and go, oh, just whatever, you know, for him. Mm-hmm. They referenced something about you. You know, and this is my son that when he was in college and he went to a school in Nashville for a while, and I said, hey, I've got to be on campus for something. Can you want to like have a cup of coffee? And he went, no one knows you're my mother. Let's keep it that way.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm wild about him. We have a great relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yes. He's like, I don't need that.
All that on the download, please.
Whereas I would have been begging you to come to college and have coffee with me. I need
freshman
friends.
Orientation.
I need someone to think I'm
classes.
Cool, please.
Lunchtime.
Can you hold my hand in
dorm
the cafeteria?
Right.
I just need a little bit of
boost.
Support here. Gracious. Well, Amy, we want to be respectful of your time, and this has just been such a lovely conversation. Thank you for giving us your energy today and your words. And a thought I had multiple times while talking to you is, why is Amy not hosting either this podcast or a podcast of her own? You are so good at riffing, at going into storytelling mode, at all these things that I think make an incredible podcast host. You should be doing this. You could be doing this if you wanted
She's
to.
She's having a good time in the garden, you know? Let
I am.
Relax.
I'm just glad to be part of what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. And you are truly beloved on this show and by me personally. And I wear this shirt with pride. And so it's just been very gratifying to talk to you today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. And I'll send you before and after pictures of whatever is happening with
That's
the facial
good.
Hair. Yeah.
And 25 years from now, 30 years from now, mm-hmm. when you are still enjoying your creative twosome,
mm-hmm.
I look forward to hearing how your kids are friends.
Oh, thank you.
That's very sweet, Amy.
Well, what a blessing.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love that. Speak that into existence. Well, thank you.
Well, take care. Amy, if you had to choose a song of your own to go out on that we can play out the episode with, which one would you choose?
Oh, to go out on?
Mm-hmm. Like a little outro song.
Oh, well, after talking about y'all's friendship.
Mm-hmm. Fat Baby.
No, I was going to say Good For Me.
Good For Me. Oh, that's very sweet. Then we'll put that in right here.
I'll dedicate it to the two of you.
Woo! All right. Day made. Very sweet. All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you, Amy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.